Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Thursday to you all. It is January 24th. 2019, and I trust that you are having a great back nine on your week. This week is just flown by, I tell you what. And you know what? I came clean yesterday, because I was debating on whether or not I should share it, and I did. I completely embarrassed myself. One of my more embarrassing moments since I've been on Current Sports, I must admit. But on Tuesday, you guys know that I wished my beautiful mother a happy birthday. It was 2 days too early. So it is Thursday, January 24th, and today is actually her birthday. And we had some fun with this yesterday with engineer Connor Mathis, and in my defense, my little sister as well. She's the one that confirmed it too. So I was just making sure. I'm like, yeah, mom's birthday is the 22nd, right? She's like, yeah. Make sure you call her. And I called her. I left her this long message. And she's like, son, yeah, the 24th, not the 22nd. So I want to take the time now to say happy birthday, Mom. But, yeah, one of my more – it shows you how great children we are, right? You know, both of us got the date wrong. So happy birthday, Moms. I'll be talking to you later. Love you. All right. A lot to get to on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I know, Jack, I know you're disappointed in me, man. I mean, how do you forget your mom's birthday, dude? Is that embarrassing? You know your world is busy when that happens, man. Jack Kerwin, engineer of this Thursday edition of Current Sports. Have you ever done that? I hope not.
Yeah, I can't even talk, honestly, because there really? Was one night. Yeah, it was like 11 at night, and I realized it was her birthday, and I hadn't called her. This was last year, 2 years ago.
11 at night, so you literally had an hour.
Yeah, I texted her, but I knew she was already in bed, and then I called her like first thing the next day.
Okay.
Felt terrible.
Man. Yeah. So the next day, that's pretty bad, man. Hey, you know, it happens when you get older, man, and life hits, and you're like, you know, you got a lot going on. No excuse, though. No excuse for forgetting your mom's birthday, though. So, love you, Mom. All right, you know it's a big game tonight. Michigan State men's basketball hits the road to take on a very hot Iowa Hawkeyes team at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And, you know, man, I've just been kind of off this week, right? Because earlier this week, I thought that, because we all know a hiccup is coming. All right, Spartan fans, we all know this streak, 20 straight Big Ten wins, all good things must come to an end. And there's going to be a hiccup at some point. I thought that hiccup was going to be Monday against Maryland. That wasn't so. Michigan State men's basketball looked great. You got production from quote-unquote role players on this team, and that proved to be the difference for me. Cassius Winston had a great second half. And again, Michigan State doing this without Josh Langford. Nick Ward threw up a complete donut on Monday night. But, you know, guys like Kenny Goins, you know, cats like Xavier Tillman came in and gave Michigan State some great production, and they cruised to a victory over the Terrapins.
Shazam!
Shazam, Izzo! But the question is, will that happen tonight? Because you're going into a hostile environment in Iowa. Iowa is hot. Do you think Michigan State continues the win streak? We'll address that. Interesting story, or I should say a crosstalk, with NPR's David Green and NPR music hip-hop journalist Rodney Carmichael as they kind of dived into the Super Bowl halftime show. And I don't know if you guys know this by now, but Maroon 5 will be the band that will be performing at this year's Super Bowl halftime show, right? And, you know, this talk between David and Rodney centers on the halftime show and how many artists have actually turned down. So Maroon 5 wasn't the first pick. There were a lot of artists that the Super Bowl and the NFL came to and they said, nope, not doing it. And then they got to Maroon 5 and they hopped on board and they are going to be your halftime performers. But there's a reason and a pretty obvious reason as to why many artists have decided to say no to the NFL Super Bowl halftime show. We'll dive into that, and you'll hear this really intriguing talk between NPR's Rodney Carmichael and David Green, and we'll have a postscript on that. All right, you don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, I want to get to this whole Rashawn Gary sports agency story as well. All right? Because I've been holding on to that story for a long, long time throughout this week. So we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all to be a part of the fun. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can, of course, watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. The Michigan State men's basketball team travels to Iowa City tonight to face the number 19 ranked Iowa Hawkeyes. So you got number 6 versus number 19. MSU defeated Iowa a little over a month ago now, December 3rd, at the Breslin. 90-68, the final in that game. So the Hawkeyes looking for a bit of revenge here. The Hawkeyes are riding a 5-game win streak, while the Spartans have a win streak of their own, winning the last 12 games and have a school record of 20 straight Big Ten wins. Joshua Langford, he is out. Finito. It's a nice matchup. Still dealing with a foot injury. While Kyle Irons hopes to be back in the starting lineup after making his return from injury on the bench against Maryland. So the tip time for tonight, that game is scheduled for 7 p.m. Andy, Michigan.
Finito.
Yeah, finito. That's right. That's right. The Michigan State women's basketball team. A little late one on that one, Jack, right?
That's my bad. I didn't have it queued up.
All good. All good. The Michigan State women's basketball team will take on Illinois as the Spartans head back to the Breslin Center tonight, where they are 10-0 at home and have a 13-game win streak dating back to last year. The MSU women are 13-5 overall, 3-4 in the Big Ten Conference. This will be the two teams' only regular season meeting, which will, again, take place tonight. 7 p.m. is also the tip time for the Spartan women. Illinois currently on a 4-game losing streak and have only one Big Ten win this year against Minnesota back on January 6th. The Spartans are currently ahead in the all-time series, 45-28. And they have won the last 6 games in the series. The Detroit Pistons topped the New Orleans Pelicans last night, 98-94. Blake Griffin went off 37 points, 20 of those coming in the first quarter alone. Andre Drummond missed his third consecutive game with a concussion, but was back at shoot-around telling reporters he was feeling good and he hopes to be back soon. The Pistons, in their three-game road trip tomorrow, when they take on the Dallas Mavericks. There was also a pretty awkward moment. After that game, Blake Griffin was interviewed by, of course, Fox Sports Detroit about his big game. And Blake was not happy with the win. You know, fun that, you know, and fine and dandy that the Pistons got a 98-94 win. But Blake did not like how the Pistons got the win and said that there is a ton that this team still needs to work on. And then you had Reggie Jackson. Right when he says that, Reggie didn't know what Blake was saying, obviously, because during this very serious moment, Blake voicing his displeasure on Fox Sports Detroit, Reggie Jackson comes into the camera and just, like, starts goofing off and basically is blocking Blake from the camera. And it's just a really awkward moment. Nobody was really laughing. And Blake says, oh, sorry, dude, you're doing an interview, trying to be funny. It just my Pistons are a joke right now, Jack. I'm not even gonna hold you up, man. I'm a big Pistons fan, but I haven't been able to get into this team this year just because they are just so inconsistent, and there is no shot at any kind of deep run in the playoffs. So there you have that. Blake will probably be, though. I am happy about this. Blake will probably be named to the NBA's All-Star team this year. So yeah, and also get this. Former Michigan State men's basketball star, now, of course, a star in the National Basketball Association, a bona fide NBA champion with the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Day-Day Green, has recently proposed to former Basketball Wife star and Golden Glove Award show Empire actress Hazel Renee. That's right. No one was supposed to know about it until the Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr popped off the question in a pregame practice interview. Quote, the time's been great. A nice change of pace during the middle of the season, especially in mid-January. Beautiful weather here. And a lot of guys have brought family members. Draymond got engaged. A lot of great stuff. That's what Kerr told reporters. Neither Green or Renee have confirmed the news, but the two have been sharing a lot of love over social media recently. Oh, isn't that cute? With Valentine's Day being right around the corner. Jack, you got a Valentine? Do you? Have you ever had one? I'm curious.
I don't talk to girls. I respect women so much that I don't even talk to girls.
Stop it, Jack. Stop it. One day you're going to be engaged, just like Draymond, and starting a family. But love is in the air there. It's kind of funny, though, that Draymond's coach and Steve Kerr kind of let the cat out the bag when Draymond and Hazel Renee have not even posted on social media that this news is true. All right, and James Harden scored 61 points last night. I have more on that in just a moment, but the potential MVP of the league had a career-high 61 points. He tied Kobe Bryant's record for a visiting player at Madison Square Garden. It was a 114-110 victory in favor of the Houston Rockets over the New York Knicks, and Harden sealed the deal after he made the game-winning dunk with 3.8 seconds remaining. He is now averaging a crazy 36 points per game on the season and has just reached his 21st straight game of 30 points or more. So the Rockets and Harden will test their match when they take on defensive star Kawhi Leonard in the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night. Also, the Detroit Tigers are going paperless this year. The Tigers are following the Red Wings and Pistons with only allowing mobile tickets for entry into games. So don't forget your phone if you are attending any of the Red Wings, Pistons, and now Tigers games. Fans will need to have an MLB.com account as well as the ballpark app to access their tickets. Mobile entry only will begin this Saturday, I should say, when the Tigers host their annual Tigers Fest at Comerica Park. Hard to believe that baseball is right around the corner. And Tiger's back! That's right, Tiger Woods is making his 2019 PGA Tour debut this week at Torrey Pines, a course where he has won on 8 different occasions. Woods enters this week's PGA Tour event as the number 13 golfer in the official world golf rankings after an extremely successful 2018 campaign. Long. I don't know why, Jack, why are you a hater when it comes to Tiger Woods? I mean, I just don't understand this, man. Why you got to play the Trump wrong? Right when I am, you know, you talk about love. I love Tiger Woods, man. Right when I'm in the middle of pumping up Tiger for a great 2019. Why are you a hater, dude? Why you got to hate?
Tiger Woods will not be truly back until he wins a major. He has to win a major.
Major smager. The fact that he came back, it was the greatest comeback in sports history. What he did in 2018, coming back from that back surgery to do what he did last year, and now ranked in the top 15, you're just hating. You sip some Haterade this morning. You just wake up and just sip Haterade in the morning, don't you, Jack?
About Twitter.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me. You know, I wish I had the power to push some buttons over here. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, Tiger Woods, again, starting the 2019 campaign today and wishing him well, even though Jack will not be wishing him well. I don't get the hate. I just don't get it. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hits headliners. Let's keep this train moving.
Once again, a chance for a four-point play. Harden drives past Vadelay, gets to the rim once again. He's got 40. Hardaway step back. That's good. He's got 45. The Knicks still have 9.8 remaining. Ball denial. Lob it into Vadelay. Harassed by Harden. Stolen by Harden. And Harden will throw it down with 3.8 remaining. Final seconds, Moutier, and that will do it. Oh, what a heartbreaking way for this game to end.
Garden and Harden, one shot at record at the Garden, 61 points, the most in the NBA this season.
James Harden with 61 points, and the Rockets survive tonight here at the Garden.
Yeah, James Harden right now is on one of the greatest scoring tears that we have ever seen in NBA history. You know, as I noted in our headliners, I mean, James Harden right now, he obviously is leading the league in scoring, averaging 36 points per game, and has just now reached his 21st straight game of 30 points or more. It's really remarkable what he's doing. But, you know, I have a question when it concerns, you know, James Harden and just the NBA and how the game is evolving over time now. And, you know, I just want to look at just the last four games. When you look at this run for James Harden with the Houston Rockets, you know, just the last four games, James Harden right now has scored over 200 points. It's mind-boggling, folks. It really is. Jack, if you had to guess, these past four games, a win over the Houston Rockets, 61 there, a loss to the Philadelphia 76ers, in which he had, 37 points there, a win over the Los Angeles Lakers, in which he had, as I pull it up, 48 points in that game, and then a loss at the hands of the Brooklyn Nets. That one went to overtime, 145 to 142, in which James scored 58. So last four matchups, over 200 points for James. Jack, if you had to guess how many of those points were scored off an assist, how many would you say?
Well, I know he had zero off assists last night. Mm-hmm. So as a whole, I'll say 14.
14 of the over 200 points scored in these last four games, you think, have been scored off an assist. Check this. This blew my mind last night when I heard this stat. Zero. None. At all. And it makes sense, right? I mean, as you cut up those highlights today, I'm pretty sure when you watch those highlights, it was pretty much ISO ball, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
It was James Harden, one-on-one, I am going to torch you. And, you know, it begs the question because, you know, we're seeing this a lot in the league. With the exception of a few teams out there, you know, I could bring up the stat when it comes to Klay Thompson, in which he went off the other night for the Golden State Warriors. It's like shooting slump what? Right? When discussing Klay Thompson now, he rebounded quite nicely. But when you look at, you know, Klay Thompson, when he had that great game not too long ago where he scored 44 points against the Los Angeles Lakers. 44 points. You know how many of those points were scored off an assist? Every single one. The Warriors, that's what they do. They share the basketball. But, you know, on any given night when you turn on the NBA, you see a lot of ISO basketball, folks. I'm not going to hold you up. You know, ball movement has become very limited in the league today, and only the really good teams out there know how to capitalize on just sharing the basketball and finding the open man. It's a glaringly different game when you compare the college game to the NBA. That's why a lot of college fans can't get into the NBA, and NBA fans, when they try to watch a college game, they get frustrated because of the lack of, I guess, scoring at times, and the lack of superstars and the lack of one-on-one play. It's just jarring, you know. But for me, I think when you look at James Harden, don't get me wrong, it's unbelievable what he's doing right now, and I think James Harden is the best 1-on-1 basketball player on the planet right now. Point blank, period. We all know that. The stats show that. The numbers show that. And I think that he will go down when it's said and done. He'll go down on the Mount Rushmore of 1-on-1 basketball players, greatest 1-on-1 basketball players to ever play the game. I just think about the game as a whole during times like this when you see historic stats like that of James Harden. And I just think of how the young baller, how this influences the young basketball player out there. Because I always tell the story of how I can't go to a local rec now anymore and play a pickup game without there being at least one or two guys who think they're the second coming of Steph Curry that want to jack up three-pointers and not run an offensive set, not share the basketball. It's just frustrating, man. So,
just so disrespectful for you to say something like that.
It's disrespectful for a guy, you know, who doesn't have any basketball talent, really, to come down to court and just jack up a 50-footer just early in the possession. It is so frustrating. That's why I haven't played a lot of pickup basketball recently, Jack. It is just because I almost lost it. I'm not even going to hold you up. I went to IM West not too long ago, and it took everything, every fiber of my being, not to just go off. The west side of Detroit, Al Martin, almost showed up in that gym on that evening at IM West, dude, because it was just so frustrating. I mean, he did it three times, coming down the court, just jacking it up. And I'm like, okay, that was it. After the second game, I was done. I chucked the deuces, went to the gym, came home, went to bed.
You know how brutal it must be right now for, like, the dads of, like, JV and freshman high school basketball players who have to watch four or five kids just pull up from the logo and take threes?
It's crazy, man. It really is. So the game is changing. And I don't know if it's changing for the better. That's the only point I want to make. All right, Michigan State men's basketball on the road at Iowa tonight. This should be a fun game. Were you looking forward to this one? You know, Iowa is ranked as the number 19th team in all of the land. Michigan State, Spartan fans, you know that Michigan State is ranked number 6 in the country. Hot. Both of these teams are hot right now. And, you know, I did bring up during the headliners how Iowa, you know, this is a game, this is a game in which they want to enact a bit of revenge, because this is an Iowa team that is different from the Iowa team that Michigan State did see in early December on December 3rd, in which, you know, Michigan State ended up winning that one pretty handily. I mean, that was a 90-68 final. And just looking at the box score, just a quick flashback here, Kenny Goins, my goodness, he had 19 points in that matchup, right? He played 30 minutes there, 19 points against Iowa. I don't know where this Kenny has come from, but it is fun to watch him play this season. It really, really is. How about Nick Ward in that game? Nick was perfect from the floor. 10 of 10, 6 of 11 from the charity stripe, 26 points for Nick, leading the charge for Michigan State against Iowa back in December. Josh Langford, this is when he was healthy. He played 31 minutes. He was 5 of 13 from the floor. He chipped in with 14 points. And Cassius Winston was 2 of 9 from the floor. However, you know, he didn't do a lot scoring-wise, just 8 points for him. But, man, did he share the basketball. Sharing is caring, folks. 12 assists for Cassius Winston in that matchup. Iowa, again, really struggled. I mean, you had Garza. He was 1 of 10 from the floor. Luke Garza, the sophomore forward for Iowa, 1 of 10, 7 points for him. Then you had Joe Wieskamp, the freshman guard for Iowa. He was not great from the floor either, 2 of 5, 8 points for him. It was Cook who led the charge for Iowa in that game. Tyler Cook, the junior forward for the Hawkeyes, he was 6 of 13 for 15 points in that matchup. And, you know, looking at this Iowa Hawkeyes team, and that's the thing. You can't start making these hard assumptions early in the year. But, again, it's sports talk radio. You know, that's what some guys, the national pundits out there, get paid to do, right? The analyst of college basketball, that's what they get paid to do. But it's so hard to make hard assumptions during the beginning of any sports season, let alone college basketball, because adjustments are made. Teams begin to find their identity, and they begin to find out who they truly are on the hardwood. And I think we're starting to see that with the Iowa Hawkeyes right now. I mean, they are riding right now a 5-game win streak dating back to a matchup against Nebraska in which they beat Nebraska 93-84. Then they go on the road to beat Northwestern 73-63. Then they beat a ranked Ohio State team 72-62. Then they go on the road to beat Penn State in the close one, 89-82. And then they are just now coming off a blowout victory over Illinois, 95-71 was the final of that game. Right now, Vegas has it as a 5.5-point favorite in favor of Michigan State. So Michigan State is favored in this game, you know, and right now, you know, Vegas has been really knocking these predictions out the park. I mean, I didn't think, going back to what happened on Monday, I did not think that Michigan State was going to blow out Maryland the way they did. Vegas said, Al, you're wrong. They will blow out Maryland the way that you saw. Michigan State was a double-digit favorite in that game. And they've been pretty spot on throughout the year. So the fact that this is a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Spartans may tell you a little bit about how hot the Iowa Hawkeyes are right now. And I think this game is going to come down to a few things. First, we all know Michigan State wins when usually wins. I'll say 90% of the time, Michigan State wins when Cassius Winston is in tune and playing well, period. You know, I look at Michigan State like this. I mean, if you cut off the head, the snake will die, right? And when Cassius has this balance of scoring and facilitating, and even if he's not scoring a lot, even if he is just facilitating like he did December 3rd against Iowa in that matchup, Michigan State is just tough to beat. And, you know, it's going to come down to Cassius manning that offense, you know, picking and choosing what he wants to do when it comes to either scoring or facilitating or doing both. At the end of the day, Cassius at least has to facilitate, and that is what he does best. All right? You don't need Cassius. I don't think you need Cassius Winston every night to come out and score because you are getting production from so many other guys right now. Nick Ward cannot come out and throw up a donut. He cannot get into foul trouble like he did against Maryland. He cannot have that performance against Maryland or Michigan State will lose. He's got to go back to that December 3rd matchup and pull, you know, somehow resurrect that magic again and have a great game and dominate down low on both ends of the floor if Michigan State wants to win. The question that I have is if the role players can continue this surge that they are currently on. You know, guys like Xavier Tillman, guys like Kenny Goins, we'll probably see Kyle Arnes hopefully back in the starting lineup. If not, you know, Aaron Henry is playing great. He has been the bright shining star when it comes to the freshmen. For me, that's what it comes down to. Can the supporting cast keep it up? Because that takes so much weight off of the shoulders of players like Nick Ward and Cassius Winston. How has Iowa been able to surge right now on this five-game win streak? Well, Iowa is led by junior Tyler Cook. You know, I mentioned Cook in that matchup back in December. Right now, Tyler Cook is averaging 16.5 points per game and almost 9 rebounds per game. You know, as I mentioned, MSU held Cook to 15 points, 8 rebounds in the first meeting. He is one of 5 Hawkeyes scoring in double figures. One of 5, folks. That's along with forward Luca Garza at 13.9. Freshman Joe Wieskamp, 11.9. And also you got the junior guards in Jordan Bohannon and Isaiah Moss at 11.2 and 10, respectively. So it's going to come down for me. When it comes to Michigan State, they have to lock in defensively, and they can't allow Iowa to go off from deep because Iowa is a team that can shoot really well. And that has been one of the big reasons why Iowa has been riding this win streak as well, is that they shoot the basketball from deep so good. So you got to guard the perimeter, and you can't allow Iowa to get open looks. They have to be at least contested looks here. All right, you cannot give them open looks from deep. But this is going to be a game where I think it's going to be a dogfight. You know, it's never easy playing on the road at Carver Hawkeye Arena, and this will be a test for Michigan State. Especially, it's especially tough going on the road and trying to beat a quality team that you previously embarrassed a little over a month ago. Iowa remembers this. They, I'm sure, want revenge, and they are going to score. And I'm just letting Spartan fans know that right now. This may be a frustrating game to watch because as good as Michigan State has been playing defensively, Iowa is just getting production from so many guys right now. Again, 5 different Hawkeye players averaging double-digit points. Right now, as a team, Iowa is averaging 82 points per game. 82 points per game. That's crazy. So a few guys are going to go off. You just can't let those who are averaging double digits, you can't let all 5 score in double digits. You got to. I'll accept maybe 2, okay? But you can't let all 5 go off. At the end of the day, I think this is the hiccup, Jack. I think Michigan State falls on the road to Iowa here. I know, shocking, but I think Vegas is saying something here. Vegas has been pretty spot on. I'm going with my gut here, looking at Iowa and looking at a few highlights from this morning. They are scoring at an unbelievable clip. I get it. Michigan State's defense is great, but it is hard to beat a team like Iowa, who, again, got embarrassed in December. It's hard to beat them twice, and now you got to do it on their home floor. I'm just going with my gut. This is more so of a gut check for me. I'm going with Iowa.
Sure, and you know what? Iowa has popped State on the road a couple times the last few years.
Yeah.
But you know what? For me, I'm actually not so worried about this game. I was more nervous about Nebraska. Like, I thought we were going to lose to Nebraska, to be honest with you. And Nebraska was listed as a favorite by 1.5, I think, in that game. Okay. For me, the blueprint in this game to win this game is exactly what it was the first time. They need to dump the ball down to Nick Ward and Xavier Tillman when he comes off the bench, because Iowa's bigs the first time around wanted zero part of our big men, offensively and defensively. So I understand Iowa's been on a winning streak, but I mean, I just looked at their schedule. You know, it's no one that Michigan State hasn't popped themselves. So for me, you know, Tyler Cook's going to play well. Travis Bohannon's going to hit some threes. You know, that's a given. But as long as they stick to what makes them good and dump the ball down low constantly to Nick Ward and Xavier Tillman, I think the Spartans will be fine.
That's
and the
other key.
Big thing
right.
is yeah. Nick and Xavier have really hit their free throws lately. So, you know, if they can get the opposing bigs in foul trouble and cash in at the line, no, I think State will definitely win this game.
And that's the thing. I think Nick got some petty fouls on Monday. It's like Nick has to learn. I think he's still learning, even though he's played so well this year, right? You know, I'm not going to let one game, you know, totally throw out the window what Nick has done throughout the majority of this season. Nick has played well. But, you know, I think if there is a blueprint, because I believe that's the game plan. Nick Ward, the bigs have to dominate this game. Michigan State's bigs must dominate this game, and they got to get a lot of buckets inside, you know, down low. That's the weakness for Iowa in this matchup. But Nick, I think I'm sure he looked at that film against Maryland and realized that, you know, he's got to pick and choose his spots when it comes to being aggressive on the defensive end, because those were some just idiotic fouls that were a bit uncharacteristic of Nick this season. So I'm sure Iowa is looking at that film and saying, all right, let's attack Nick Ward and see if we can bait him a bit and see if we can get him in foul trouble. Because if they eliminate Nick Ward and if they get him in foul trouble and if he's spending the majority of his time tonight on the bench, Iowa has a great shot at winning this thing. The Hawkeyes right now are 11-1 at home this season. They had a loss to Wisconsin just before that first Michigan State game in December. And Iowa is averaging right now 9 3-pointers a game since its last loss. This should be a fun game. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll play to you an interesting NPR piece about the Super Bowl halftime show. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sport. Yeah, a little J. Cole for you on this Thursday, January 24th, 2019. And apologies, my live stream just fell. It was on the tripod. I'll put it back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Jack, are you a Cole fan? Cole just dropped a new joint last night.
You know what? I was looking at Spotify, building a new workout playlist yesterday, threw this song on there, so decided to put it in today. No, nice. I didn't hear his new album, no.
Yeah, well, it's not an album, just a track.
Just dropped a new track?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure an album is coming, but he dropped a song called Middle Child that is fire. Just Cole and Kendrick, they are the pioneers when it comes to conscious hip-hop today. Because most of the stuff you listen to is just mumble rap crap that I just hate. Jack, I know I think you like some of that stuff, but
to be honest,
if I'm turning up on the weekend with the homies, cool. But you know, for me, I am a diehard conscious hip hop fan, so I really appreciate Cole and Kendrick.
You like Big Sean though, right?
Oh, I love Sean. Okay. Sean is conscious.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, absolutely. Yeah,
some of his stuff, dude.
Yeah, I love Big Sean. He's my favorite, probably.
Oh, he's unbelievable. You know, he's from the west side of Detroit, you know, from my hood, man. So, yeah, I have a certain affinity for Big Sean, man. He's great.
His grandmother owned a house right down the street from my high school.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually raps about it in One Man Can Change the World.
That's really cool.
She bought a crib on the same street as Marvin Gaye right there on Outer Drive. I could see Marvin Gaye's house. I'd drive past it every day on the way to UAD.
That is awesome. Yeah. That's really cool stuff, man. Yeah, and what I love about Sean, too, is he's always giving back to Detroit as well. You know, he's always thinking about where he came from. He doesn't forget where he came from, and he's always investing in the city of Detroit. All right, before I play to you an interesting piece coming from NPR when it comes to the Super Bowl halftime show, throughout these next few days, I will be introducing you to our new students that will be with us here from, of course, the School of Journalism at Michigan State University. For 5 years now, we have been working with the School of Journalism and working with students from the Journalism 418 course led by Professor Joanne Gerstner. And they the students provide content and they have respective beats here in the local community. That they're reporting on and providing that content on our website at WKAR.org and our social media pages as well. And we've got a lot of new voices and faces that you'll be hearing up until May. So I would like to introduce right now two of those students. Right now, live here in Studio S, you'll be seeing them in just a moment on our Facebook page, live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. We have Joshua Chung and Brandon Mauston, who will be joining us throughout the semester. Joshua, welcome to the show. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. How are you, Al?
I'm great, man. And Brandon, how are you doing, man? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. Everything's going good so far, so
that's awesome.
Can't complain.
Hopefully I'm not boring you guys if you guys have been waiting throughout the show behind the glass.
I'm enjoying it.
That's good stuff. All right, what I want to do is just, again, just a brief introduction to our audience. I want to start with you, Joshua. Just tell me, what I want you guys to do is just tell our audience where you're from, how you ended up here at Michigan State, and what will you be covering throughout this semester for WKAR's Current Sports?
Awesome. So I'm from Manalapan, New Jersey. The armpit of America is what they call it. came to Michigan State because I wanted to go to a big school. They had a really great journalism program here. Wasn't too fond of Rutgers. All my high school friends were going to go there, something like that. And they had like a lot of in-state schools. I really wanted to go to a big school. Came here. Fell in love with it, got a great scholarship from it, and now I'm here.
That's awesome. That is great stuff. So a lot of your friends, though, went to Rutgers.
A lot of friends went to Rutgers. A lot of friends went to in-state schools, and I kind of wanted to get away from that.
Gotcha.
I wanted to go far.
Get away from home, man.
Get away from the parents.
Man.
Get away. I'm on my own, so that's what I love about it.
All right, and what are you be covering throughout this semester for us, Joshua?
So I'll be covering MMA, boxing in Lansing. My first story is going to be covering around Crown Boxing.
Yeah.
In Lansing.
Ali Easley is like a head trainer. That's my guy, man.
I went over a couple days ago to do a story about like, they have a lot of young professional, like kids ages like 8 to 15.
Right.
Usually boxing gyms have like a lot of older guys who are trying to train. Mm. So I wanted to go a perspective, like what's it like to train like a younger kid? How much more difficult is it? What age did they start, and how often do these kids, like, make it? So I asked them basically that kind of question, and turned out pretty well.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that first story, brother. And so I'm assuming you're a big UFC and boxing guy.
Yeah.
Real quick, your thoughts on Adrian Broner and Manny Pacquiao from this past weekend because I sat there, I watched that fight. I'm a big boxing guy. I'm a big MMA guy as well. So I watched the ESPN fights that were going on as well. And then I turned on the Pacquiao and Broner fight, and the dude's just a clown, if you ask me. What were your thoughts on that fight?
Well, first off, like, the great thing about it is I love what ESPN's doing with UFC and, like, boxing now all of a sudden. They signed, like, that huge deal or whatever.
Yeah, with ESPN. Yeah. I think they're going to be streaming on ESPN Plus, right?
It's a great thing. I think UFC is one of the most underrated sports today, especially if you're, like, a passionate fan about it. But Pacquiao, he's still got it, man.
He does.
He's still got it. At that age, I still think he should have beat Floyd, but...
He just seemed happy to be there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just happy to be here, just smiling. I'm like, Pacquiao. It didn't look locked in to me, you know? And, you know, there were talks about after the fight whether or not Floyd and Manny would go at it again. But I don't know if I would want to see it again.
I'm with you.
I'll probably watch it.
I think he can do it.
You think he can do it?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Do you think Floyd can do it?
I think Floyd is always – he's one of those guys. He still keeps himself in supreme shape, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. I saw him –
doesn't read.
Stop it, man. That's such a low blow, Jack. That is such a – Jack is just – did you really sip some Haterade this morning, dude? My goodness. But, you know, I saw the kickboxing match. Well, the boxing – match against the Japanese kickboxer, and he still looked in shape. Now, again, that was all for publicity, okay?
Yeah.
I will watch it, but I don't know how intriguing it would be. But Manny looked great, man.
A lot of funny photos came out of that.
Oh, a lot. You can say that again, man. All right, Josh, welcome to the Current Sports Team. Glad to have you. Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself, my man.
Well, I'm Brandon Mostyn. I'm from West Bloomfield, Michigan. I'm a junior here at Michigan State, and I come from a family of Spartans, so really this was really meant to be for me to be come here and be a Michigan State Spartan, just passing down the line, continuing the family legacy here. For my beat here at Current Sports, WKR, I'll be covering winter and spring outdoor sports.
Nice. So, like which sports? What kind of sports?
Anything outdoor, really. We're getting into baseball season, of course.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Soccer starting up, lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
But for my first story, I'll be focusing on the winter sports, the snowboarding and skiing aspect of side of it, because here in Michigan, we haven't seen a lot of snow.
We haven't.
This winter.
And I'm not complaining, brother.
I'm not complaining.
But the skiers,
either.
I'm sure, are complaining.
But the snowboarders and skiers here in the Lansing area, Michigan State, where do they go? What do they do when they don't have snow to ride on? Like, the ski resorts, Mount Holly, Mount Brighton, like, they make their own snow for their participants. But a lot of what I've learned is a lot of these skiers and snowboarders plan trips over breaks to travel out to Colorado, to the mountains, and really where the snow is, where it's constant, and it's really good to ski and snowboard on. So I just talked about that process. We'll talk about that process with them, and just really, you know, we have X Games. It's really big in the Olympics now, too. So really just more background on snowboarding skiing because it's not really talked about.
It's not. It's
kind of,
it's definitely a niche sport, isn't
exactly.
it? Exactly. For sure.
So that's what I'll be covering first off for my beat. But I look forward to getting to, like, the more, you know, more sports that people follow, like baseball, soccer, lacrosse.
Definitely.
Stuff like that.
So it's kind of a wide range, man. You can go in so many different areas with that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Every time there's a story that comes out, there'll be something different.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Joshua, Brandon, thank you guys so much. Again, welcome to the Current Sports Team. We're looking forward to having you guys, all right?
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Jack, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll play that piece from NPR discussing the Super Bowl halftime show. You don't want to miss this chat. It's pretty interesting. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sport.
You know, normally the Super Bowl halftime show does not have any trouble finding talent. Bruce Springsteen, Prince, Beyonce, I could go on here. But that has not been the case this time. One act after another has rejected the NFL's offer, and most are citing the way players have been treated for taking a knee during the national anthem. The pop band Maroon 5 finally accepted the job, and recently two hip-hop stars agreed to join them on stage, Big Boy and Travis Scott, and that set off a fiery reaction from some fans. I was talking to NPR Music's hip-hop writer Rodney Carmichael about who turned the NFL down and why.
Well, it's a really long list, but the main three that were asked at different points are Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Cardi B. And they all turned it down to stand in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, who's, you know, been on the outs with the NFL since his protest against racial injustice.
They do seem to have gotten a few, it looks like. Big Boy, Travis Scott, Maroon 5. Why those three?
Well, here's one interesting thing. All three of these acts are managed by Irving Azoff's management company. You know, longtime music industry guy who has a lot of power in the industry. But, you know, on the other hand, Adam Levine of Maroon 5, he's been super coy about talking about why his band chose to play the show. And Travis Scott, he apparently told Billboard magazine that he would only accept the invite if the NFL joined him in donating $500,000 to Dream Corps. Now, that's the nonprofit that focuses on criminal justice reform. And then there's Big Boy. I mean, I have to imagine that Big Boy's loyalty is with his hometown on this one.
The hometown. Oh, that's right. The Super Bowl's in Atlanta, and that's where he's from?
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah, and I'm from Atlanta, too. You know, ATL. What's
up? All right.
But, you know, in theory, the NFL really couldn't have picked a better time to come to what's essentially the black Mecca and the hip-hop capital, right? I mean, the city is sitting in the driver's seat of pop culture right now. And making this an A-Town halftime show, it would have been such an easy ratings victory. But this league policy that they have against taking a knee during the national anthem, in a lot of ways, is really blocking them from capitalizing on this blessing.
So what do you take from this? It's so interesting they're coming to a city that they could have just been this moment to showcase such great music, and people have associated the Super Bowl with music recently. So what does that tell us about this halftime show, the Super Bowl, and the NFL right now?
Well, I mean, I think in a lot of ways it says what we already know, which, you know, is hip-hop is cooler than the Super Bowl. You know, even Jay-Z made this point. He said, now that rap is the most consumed genre in America, artists really don't need the halftime show to play stadiums. It also says that a lot of black artists know that their core audience is rooting for Kaepernick. And it's not just a political play if you think about it. I mean, playing that stage, it really has the potential to hit black artists in the pocket, especially if they lose cool points with their fans.
So there's been a real reaction among hip-hop fans in support of Kaepernick and against the NFL? I mean, have there been mixed reactions?
It's mixed. I mean, because obviously you have hip-hop fans who are still fans of the NFL, right? There is an online petition, and it originally asked Maroon 5 to back out of the show. Now it's asking all three acts to take a knee during the show.
Rodney Carmichael from NPR Music. Thanks, Rodney.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Great job by David Green conducting that interview with NPR music hip-hop journalist Rodney Carmichael. But, you know, as you just heard, there have been many artists that were at the top of the list for the National Football League to ask whether or not they would participate in the Super Bowl halftime show, and those artists decided to turn that invite down. Those artists being Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Cardi B. They rejected the NFL's offer to perform, and each artist rejected the gig to stand in solidarity with, yes, Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback who knelt during the national anthem back in 2016 in protest of racial injustice in America. And subsequently, he filed a grievance against the NFL in 2017 for alleging that they colluded to keep him out of the league because of his protest. A few points I want to make. First off, you know, I know you're a big music guy as well, Jack. You know, Travis Scott is still a big get, I feel like. Travis Scott had the number one hip-hop album of last year in 2018, if I believe, right? Astroworld? Is that it? Yeah, Astroworld.
Yeah, Astroworld's a new one. Yeah, no, he's absolutely a huge get.
That's huge. So I still think, but the thing is, the headliner, Maroon 5, I don't know how hot they are still.
Yeah.
You know? Maroon 5, I like
five,
Maroon,
10 years ago, you know.
Yeah, 5-10 years ago, exactly. But Maroon 5 is going to be the headline act. I'm curious to see how they intermix Travis Scott along with Big Boy with this performance. So I think it'll be interesting. But, you know, those artists are nowhere near the kind of cachet that a Jay-Z has, right? That a Rihanna has. That a, I can't believe I'm saying this, and I never thought Cardi B would blow up the way she has. But even a Cardi B, those are artists that are right now at the top of the top of the music game. But Travis Scott is still a big get, and I like kind of, you know, if you're going to stand with you stand with Colin Kaepernick and have his back in this. You know, I like how Travis Scott did it. He said, "All right, if I'm going to do this, the NFL has to donate some moolah toward the cause that I want it to." And I think that was interesting. And Big Boy, I think Big Boy is just doing it because, again, he's from Atlanta. You know, it's not every day that the Super Bowl comes to your hometown. This is more so about his people. And an interesting point made, you know, by Rodney Carmichael in that chat is that, yeah, hip hop right now is and has been in the corner of Colin Kaepernick. And I get it. You know, Cap represents and what Cap is standing for is what many hip hop artists have been preaching about and rapping about in their lyrics for years. So no surprise there. And also, Rodney Carmichael, being from Atlanta, that was some bias there, calling Atlanta the Mecca of hip-hop. No, I'm not going with that. Atlanta, very, very, very strong. A long list of great hip-hop artists have come out of the ATL, but I still believe that reign belongs to where hip-hop originated, in New York City. So there you have that. But an interesting conversation on a lot of different levels. For the most part, I feel like the last few years have been a bit of a snoozer when it comes to the Super Bowl halftime show. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning into this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll lead, of course, with tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game on the road at Iowa. Don't forget the women are also in action hosting Illinois. Be easy, people.